Well, I'm here because of Sukesh, whom I've known for since about 1982. I mean, if Paul McCartney can headline Glastonbury, those in their 70s, young men like me, can speak of our lives as well, surely. So I met him in 1982. We were both pastoring in the centre of Bristol, and we used to do door-to-door work together. So I got to know Sukesh as a man of the gospel. I don't think I've met somebody who's able so quickly, so courteously, so effectively to introduce the gospel to someone standing cold on their doorstep, often at 11 o'clock on Monday morning. And this carried. And in Kenya, where he went, where we both went, he was able to speak the same gospel, the same way, to unreached tribes. Tribes from the north of Kenya, the Rendili, who never heard of Jesus. And yet, it's just his reliance on the gospel enabled him to speak very directly and to see the work of God among them. So I valued Sukesh as a man of the word. I also valued him as a man of prayer. I mean, again, I'm not throwing flowers around for no reason, but he's the nearest in my mind to Richard Baxter's Reformed pastor. I know how he prays for you all. Regularly, daily, weekly. I mean, he says it not to boast, he just that's his life. And it sort of makes me think, because I don't know many pastors who do that. So I know Sukesh as a man of prayer. So it's a great privilege and a slightly awesome one to stand here where I know that he stands. But sharing in common those two values, the values of the gospel, of God's word, and of prayer. And I want to talk about that, and just headlining that little verse, God knows what we need before we ask. I suppose God could communicate remotely, couldn't he? He could, all sorts of ways he could repeat. We could leave a message, we could leave an offering outside a church. But God doesn't want to communicate remotely. He wants face-to-face contact. That's what prayer is about. God wants us to face, like you want your children to ask you things, most of the time. Because what does it do when children learn to ask their father? It builds faith. So God wants face-to-face, one-to-one contact as our Father. That's one of the hearts of prayer. Faith is born from that, just our spending time with our Father in prayer. It's not just a means of getting, but it's a means of getting to know God. And myself. And other people, actually, to get to know them with more sympathy and empathy. And I think prayer, spring watches back, isn't it? And been watching those herons in their nest fighting over their food and just thinking of how little chicks emerge from the shell. And it seems quite an ordeal, quite a big task they have to peck their way out of the shell. And it might seem, well, can't someone help them? Can't someone go and do a bit of work from the outside? But apparently we're told that pecking is important, for it builds up their resilience. It builds up. And our praying, with all its waiting, as Hazel said, and with the answers that come in different ways, are to build up our resilience as Christians. So here we go as we look at prayer. And just to say, that verse there, God knows what we need before we ask, I just suggest to you, it might be a good thing sometimes to ask God what you should pray for. If he knows what you need, why don't you ask him what you should pray for? I know we come with a long list of them, and we think we know, but sometimes it's a good idea to say, actually, Lord, what do you think I should pray for? Thank you. Here's our reading. Thank you. I got the clicker here. Andrew's standing beside me, but here's the passage again. I'll just read it to you. Little bits in green, just the contrast. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they receive their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who's unseen. And then your Father, who sees what's done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, don't keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Do not pray like them. Do not pray like the hypocrites, but pray like heirs of God. And as I'm speaking this morning, I just want you, and I'm sure the Holy Spirit will help you, just reflect on your prayer life. This is not an academic exercise. It's not like me showing you all the books I've read on prayer. I'd be a failure if that was it. But just say, how authentic is your life compared to what we hear in the scripture? Lord, teach me to pray. I think that's what I'm asking to do. Teach me to pray. My prayer is that all our prayer lives will be enhanced by our time together this morning. How authentic is my praying life? That wonderful verse, Ephesians chapter 2, through Jesus we have access to God by the Spirit. Through Jesus. Can you see, prayer is the fruit of our adoption, the fruit of our salvation. Why did God save you? In order that you and I might pray to him. So prayer is the fruit of our being adopted as God's sons and daughters. It's the purpose of it, that we might have access to God. We who are outside, far off, excluded, through Jesus Christ, in the Spirit, we are able to approach God. So prayer is the fruit of our adoption as heirs by our Heavenly Father. Access to our Father is the outcome of the work of Christ and the Spirit. I would just think, I thought it was so very sweet, very gracious of the Queen, wasn't it, to grant Camilla that royal status. Do you know why she did that? Well, the word going around, I think it's on good authority, that was Prince Charles who asked her, who kept on asking her over many, many years, can't you give Camilla something, some recognition because of what she'd been through? So it was Charles coming to his parent, asking that request. In the same way, we come to our Heavenly Father, ask even sometimes outrageous requests. So prayer is the means of walking with God in our lives. It's very hard to walk with God without prayer. So in other words, we talk the walk. I know we walk the talk, but we talk the walk by praying. If we don't pray, our relationship with God, I think, goes static and sterile, a bit distant. You don't talk to your husband or wife or your brother or sister. You know how the relationship can get a bit dusty. Prayer allows our day to be shaped by God. Sorry, advocating prayer in the morning, yeah? or at least the night before, if you're not a morning person. My wife's a very busy person, but she has low energy. She's had ME, chronic fatigue, like long COVID, for 35 years. So our energy, so she's a person who wants to do far more than she can naturally anyway, and her energy levels are lower than they might be anyway. So her first prayer, when she rubs the sleep out of our eyes, is to ask God, what is this day for, Lord? All sorts of things she might want to do, feel she ought to do, but what is this day for? This little time. Implying, I'm just human, I have all sorts of limitations, my desires go beyond my reach. I want to do much more than I can do and I'm capable of doing. But what is this day for? It's a good prayer when one keeps listening throughout the day. And often as one reflects at the end of the day, one says, well, that was a wonderful meeting I had with that person. I wasn't expecting it. Oh, I'm so glad I had an opportunity to talk about the Lord to that person. It just came up somehow. What is this day for, Lord? And just thinking is, Andrew's helping us to do, just taking prayer apart, deconstructing it, getting to the heart of it. Prayer restores to us a true perspective of life. Life is not about us, it's about God. The whole purpose of prayer is talking to God. It's not talking to the government, it's not talking to a very capable person, a counsellor, people who might help us in other ways. It's talking to God. It gives us the right perspective of life. Show that God and not me is the centre. It sees the world as it really is. Prayer takes us into reality. We're bombarded by all sorts of false realities, aren't we, through advertising and things we're meant not to be able to do without, and even to make ourselves the person we want to be. Some kind of false realities. But prayer restores us to reality. Things as they really are, living in the Creator's world, related to him through Jesus Christ. So the basis of prayer is the reality of God's greatness. God who is beyond time and sees life from beginning to end. One of our living, lasting, loving song, we were talking about the prophecies. God sees time just as on a page before him. He sees it all. The plan is outworking. God who is beyond time. Amazing mind-boggling, but God, there's no past, present, or future in the way that we see it. Time is present before him. And the God who has a grasp on space, he's active in space, he's maintaining the cosmos. You know what they say, these amazing statistics, that our galaxy, our Earth compared to our galaxy, is about the same size as my little Bible to the southwest of England. So that's the scale we're on. That Earth compared to our galaxy is on a measure with the ratio of this Bible to the whole of the southwest of England, from Portishead to Portsmouth. And there are 100 billion of those galaxies. 100 billion. And God sees it all. God maintains it all. God controls it all. So prayer is reminding us of the greatness of God. These are amazing concepts and ideas, but just to say, sorry, back. If prayer becomes a problem to you, you say, well, too much to grasp, it blows my mind. How can God hear to so many people at once? Remember, Jesus prayed. Follow him humbly. If it was good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for us. Don't let the perplexities, even your own personal history, perhaps of some unanswered prayers, stop you praying today. If it was good enough for Jesus, it's the centre of our growing to become like Christ, our prayerfulness. A wrong way and a right way to pray, as we've read from our text. Don't be like the hypocrites. Don't be like those actors. People putting on act, and that was the word for hypocrite was the Greek word for actor. Someone who's putting on an actor, a comedian on the right, or a tragedian on the left. Don't be like them. Because we don't pray before men to be seen and to reward us. Prayer is not a public performance for a human audience. I think that's probably, go on, I remember my early Christian days, I could regularly expect Brother X to pray for 10 minutes on Sunday morning. So I'd hear all about his week, all about his dogs and cats, and some lovely language, all your supplications and intercessions. I thought he was not a performance, it was his way of just getting rid of his loneliness. But the prayer is not. I believe in corporate prayer. In some ways, corporate prayer is the key, but it's not for human audience, not even to teach others. We can sometimes, if we're a bit older, we can want to teach others through our prayers. Teach them sound doctrine. Teach them right. It's not for that. It's too sacred for that. There's someone bigger in the room for that. That kind of prayer is rewarded by human praise alone. We all like human praise, but in the end, that's all it is, isn't it? Human praise. And it could probably change tomorrow to human blame, can't it? Close the door. Turn off the connection to the outside world. Turn off the technology. Prayer is not pretending. It's the real me talking to the real God. As Jesus prayed in Gethsemane, you might say. The real me, with all my what's inside, talking to the real God. God as he really is. In other words, God invites us to be ourselves in prayer, not to perform on him, not to put on a not to have a special prayer self we put on to God when we come in prayer, which leaves behind our fears and our cares and our worries and even our sins. Not to have that kind of prayer face which we put on just like we put on the best clothes to come to church as we used to do in the past. To be ourselves in prayer, no masks, not to present a perfect self. That's why I think when we pray, firstly we need to listen to our intruding thoughts, because they may be the most important things to us at that time, mightn't they? You want to pray, but you can't help stop thinking about something. Can't stop worrying about something. Well, that may be the thing to start your prayers with. What matters to you matters to God. But he wants the real you. The real me. So don't bury your fears, your cares, your failures, your doubts. Bring them to God. Use each opportunity you pray to grow in God's will. To grow a little bit in faith. To grow in compassion. By praying for people, we should grow in compassion. How can you think about the people in Afghanistan? The children. And Andrew didn't even mention bereavement. People have got to live the rest of their lives, sometimes without 10 relatives. That's God's school of compassion, prayer. And empathy. So we grow as we pray. In prayer, we run to God when we may feel that running away. Because when you start praying, you may want to pull out. Because you're somehow aware there are a lot of things under the surface which God might be interested in. So often when we first start to pray, we say, oh, well, I don't feel like it. Oh, I must go and do that. So in prayer, we run to God when sometimes the temptation is to run away from him, to hide. And we know we can do that even when we feel frail, when we feel unworthy. Or we even think, gosh, when was the last time I got down on my knees? You can always be defeated before you start, can't you? By a sense of guilt. We pray on the basis of Jesus Christ, don't we? It's through Jesus we have access. We pray on the basis of his righteousness, his graciousness, his relationship with the Father. So that's our sure start. That's our certain entry into God's presence. It's because of Jesus Christ. Finally, in prayer, I adore God and invite him to examine my heart. We had it in our first hymn, didn't we? What things do you adore? I won't ask you. Publicly, it might be embarrassing. It might have to do with chocolate. But that's the word for God. That's the God word, to adore God. To love him with the deepest affection. So in prayer, beyond, before, beside, all the asking and the listening and the talking, God invites us to adore him. To become deeply aware of his goodness. Do you remember that verse in Exodus 33 when the Lord said to Moses, I will let my goodness pass before you. And in prayer, we are reminding ourselves in that place of adoration of God's goodness. Creating us. Saving us. Blessing us. Promising us. Never forsaking us. God has taken the initiative. He invites us to attend. He's waiting for us when we pray. Prayer is just attending to God's presence. It's not that God's presence has arrived. We are just becoming sensitized to it. Sometimes we feel things, sometimes we don't, of course, but on the basis of God's word. Prayer is attending to God's presence. Meeting him by invitation. And as we do that, as we adore, we have insight into Christ's sufficiency. So we find peace. We find compassion for others. The basis of fruitful living. But I think prayer is in prayer we examine ourselves. If we're being serious, if we're really meeting with God, there's going to be an examination, but there's going to be a contrast between God and ourselves, isn't there? We shouldn't be afraid of that, but we know God is gracious. In prayer, I examine my emotions. For instance, where am I finding my joy at this time? Why do I sometimes get bored in church? We're doing a little check. We're owning our own, as you might say, after the just a minute program, we're owning our own deviation, hesitation and repetition. Has our Christian life got a bit stale? Is there a bit of deviation in our life from the kind of people we used to be? Are we hesitating to commit ourselves? So we're checking ourselves, allowing the Holy Spirit to check if there's some hesitation, deviation, or just is it just repetition? We scan our desires, our heart's preoccupations, to see if any idols are forming, things which are becoming to us more important than God. Any lies which we're believing, which is making us doubt some passage in the Scripture. We're just doing a little health check through the Holy Spirit. And we find grace for confession of our guilt. You know, it's not a Christian virtue to feel guilty. Sometimes, well, at least I'm not a sinner, but at least I'm not perfect, but at least I know I'm not perfect. I'm like that person. But it's not a Christian virtue to feel guilty. It's a Christian virtue to feel cleansed and forgiven and ready for what God wants to do next. The blood of Jesus Christ is always sufficient. So we shouldn't live in a half state. Well, I'm not really a very good Christian. I'm just sort of, I expect to be just, have to keep my head down. No. It's not a virtue to feel guilty. It's our privilege to feel forgiven and equipped and strengthened by God. So in prayer, we find cleansing and grace for new direction. The rewarding way to pray. It's not manipulation. It's not a question of buy one and get one free. It's not saying the right words. It's not saying many words. It's not saying abracadabra and everything happens like that. It doesn't work like that. It's a relationship. It's wanting to know God's mind and getting alongside him. It's not about visualization, manifestation, as if through my will I can make things happen, which is a very current kind of philosophy. You'll read about it if you read youth magazines. You visualize your desired future. You pretend that that's what, and your visualization, your will makes it happen. It's not about that. God sees our hidden longings. Our prayer is really built on our desire to know God better, to build our friendship and to grow like Christ. So this is our reward, which is our reward is God through our praying, through our regular practice of praying, through our compassionate praying, through our honest praying, through our faith, confident praying, is changing us to be more like Jesus. And that's the reward that prayer brings. Jesus excelled in love. He excelled in obedience, renouncing his desires. Not my will, but thine be done. Being patient with the disciples, waiting. And it happened as much as anything else through his practice of prayer. Finally, just to say, in other words, prayer is not a way about removing life's unpredictable elements. No. You can't pray the nasty things away. You can't pray Monday morning away. You can't pray all sickness from your family away. You can pray for God to heal in case of. That's a great thing to do. You can't pray for all your children to always make all the right decisions. You can't pray the unpredictable out of life. But prayer is about God using them, including them in a redemptive way. Using them for good. Using them for benefits. Even our prayers, when sometimes you don't feel up, my wife, ME for 35 years. Prayer not answered in that sense. You've got similar things I expect. But they've kept me near to God. They've kept me humble. God is above and beyond. Because Jesus died for us, we can live in newness of life in all respects. The things which are hard to us, God can redeem and bring good from. Prayer shows that ultimately we are future-oriented people. We are not locked into the past. But prayer means that with God, there are always new possibilities, possibility of grace, of hope, and of healing. May God help us to want to be like Jesus, especially in his attitude to prayer and his prayerfulness. Amen.